According to the particular time. Rabajat. Fostered. Translation. In the quality of goodness is prominent, the sages and demigods flourish with the help of that quality, with which they are infused and surcharged by the Supreme Lord. Similarly, when the mode of passion is prominent, the demons flourish. And when ignorance is prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone's heart, fostering the reactions of Satyagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to anyone. The conditioned soul is under the influence of the various modes of material nature. And behind material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one's victory and loss under the influence of Satyagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun are reactions of these modes, not the Supreme Lord's partiality. Srila Jiva Goswami in the Bhagavad Sandarbha has clearly said, Satyadayam santyase yatrata prakrita gunaha Sasuda Sarasuda Pramamadya Prasidatu. According to this statement of the Bhagavad Sandarbha, the Supreme Lord, being always transcendental to the material qualities, is never affected by the influence of these qualities. This same characteristic is also present in the living being, but because he is conditioned by material nature, even the pleasure potency of the Lord is manifested in the conditioned soul as troublesome. In the material world, the pleasure enjoyed by the conditioned soul is followed by many painful conditions. For instance, we have seen that in the two great wars, which were conducted by the Rajagun and Tamagun, both parties were actually ruined. The German people declared war against the English to ruin them, but the result was that both parties were ruined. Although the Allies were apparently victorious, at least on paper, actually neither of them were victorious. Therefore, it should be concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to anyone. Everyone works under the influence of various modes of material nature. And when the various modes are prominent, the demigods or demons appear victorious under the influence of these modes. Everyone enjoys the fruits of his qualitative activities. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. The manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illumined by knowledge. Or chief of the Bharatas, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, uncontrollable desire, hankering, and intense endeavor develop. O son of Kuru, when there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, madness, illusion, inertia, and darkness are manifest. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart, simply gives the results of the increase of the various qualities, but he is impartial. He supervises victory and loss, but does not take part in them. The various modes of material nature do not work all at once. The interactions of these modes are exactly like seasonal changes. Sometimes there is an increment of Rajagun, sometimes of Tamagun, and sometimes Satyagun. Generally, the demigods are surcharged with Satyagun, and therefore when the demons and the demigods fight, the demigods are victorious because of the prominence of their Satyagun qualities. However, this is not the partiality of the Supreme Lord. Translation, please repeat. When the quality of goodness is prominent, the sages and demigods flourish with the help of that quality with which they are infused and surcharged by the Supreme Lord. Similarly, when the mode of passion is prominent, the demons flourish. And when ignorance is prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone's heart, fostering the reactions of Satyagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. Om Agenatura Mandas Yoganata Masarataya Taksurim Nitami Nata Ismashri Guru Venima. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami is utilizing all the natural beauty and phenomena which nature in its purest, most beautiful form, Braj Bhumi, is utilizing to impart instructions regarding the Absolute Truth. Shukadeva Goswami comments on the rainbow which appeared in the sky after Indra surrendered to Krishna after, practically speaking, waging war on Krishna and the Vrijavasis. Shukadeva Goswami explains the curved bow of Indra, the rainbow, signifying that he had put down his bow, he had surrendered and ceased to fight with Krishna. Tells us something about Krishna, because the rainbow is unique in that it doesn't have a bow string to keep it curved, whereas any ordinary bow needs to be tied by a bow string. The rainbow is unique in that it does not need to be bound in that way. And this emblem of surrender, also prominent in the Christian scriptures regarding God's covenant with the people of the earth, that he would no longer wage war against them because of the covenant he made after the flood, symbolized by the rainbow. This symbolizes Krishna. And it also symbolizes surrender. And it tells us something about the nature of Krishna. That he is not bound by the modes of material nature like the conditioned souls are. He's above the modes. He's free from their influence. And therefore, he can do anything he wants, any time he wants. Whereas the conditioned souls, they're bound by the reactions to their previous actions and forced to act according to the conditioning of the three modes. But Krishna is free, and he maintains that spirit of freedom to set us free, which is his desire in his interactions with this material world. So, as we were discussing yesterday, some of the theology of the ontological position of Sri Advaita Acharya being the combined form of Sadashiv, who is the intermediary between the spiritual and material creation, and Mahavishnu, who is the superintendent, like the super soul of the collective material universes. So the connection is Sadashiv, intermediary. So entering into this world as Advaita Acharya, Advaita meaning non-different from the Lord, Acharya means he teaches the path of devotional service. And he declares himself, as Kaviraj Goswami records in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives his identity. I am servant of Lord Chaitanya, I am servant of Lord Chaitanya, I am servant of Lord Chaitanya, I am servant of his servants. And this is a very important concept to understand. Service to the servants in regards to the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy name, which was factually inaugurated and achieved and executed and fulfilled through the Advaitacharya. Lord Gauranga did not come to establish the Yuga Dharma. That service was delegated and fulfilled by Sri Advaita. But Sri Advaita, in his humility and also wanting to serve the Lord by surcharging the Yuga Dharma with the Prema Dharma, the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan for Krishna, which is bestowed only once in 1,000 Kali Yugas by the mercy of Lord Gauranga, whereas in every Kali Yuga there's a Yuga Dharma and a Yuga Avatar. But wanting that, and also that explains why Advaita noticed that the symptoms of Kali Yuga predicted for the far off end of the age had already prevailed prematurely in Avadvipdham. This was the Lord's arrangement, that even Yuga Dharma would not prove effective under such adverse circumstances. And therefore, it was all the Lord's arrangement, orchestrated through Advaitacharya, to confuse the Yuga Dharma with Prema Dharma. Yuga Dharma can grant liberation or utmost destination of Vaikuntha. The entrance into the portals of Vrindavan can be achieved only by the love of the Brijavasins, which Krishna himself infuses. And in Navadvipdham, there is a mellow reminiscent of the subdued charms of chastened lovers temporarily parted, which infuses anyone who wants to enter the portals, which are ever wide with the munificence of God's love in its most unreserved and indiscriminate form, to those who want to receive the supreme blessing directly from the hands of Godhead himself. So, yesterday we were discussing how Sri Advaitacharya, he wanted Lord Gauranga to proclaim himself that he is the omniscient supreme personality of Godhead. And therefore he went to Shantipur just at the time when Lord Nityananda was coming and the Sankirtan movement was really being surcharged. That's right when Advaita left. Because he wanted the Lord to proclaim himself that he is the omniscient supreme personality of Godhead, which he did in response to Ravi coming and telling him that he's hiding in Dhananacharya's house. And the Lord revealed his actual nature. And thus Advaitacharya's plan was fulfilled, and it was like a trick. And the next time that Advaitacharya left Navadvip to return to Shantipur was in response to Lord Gauranga, because after his initiation from Ishwarapuri in Gaya, he was very paka in his Vaishnava etiquette and honoring the etiquette worthy of Advaita as a very senior Vaishnava, a very learned Brahmin, a very illumined pundit, would always treat Advaitacharya with great awe and reverence, which was just unbearable to Advaitacharya. So he devised a trick by which his preferred identity as servant of Lord Garanga, servant of Lord Garanga, servant of Lord Garanga, servant to his servants, would be established. And this is very important. Service to the devotees is equated with chanting of the holy name. Vrindavan Das Thakur says that Lord Chaitanya came to establish the chanting of the holy name and service to the devotees. Because the devotees are the representatives of the Lord in our lives. And as we serve them, we are serving the Lord, who is inaccessible in his holy name without that combined element of service to devotees. So Advaitacharya did not want to be left out of this category. So he went back to Shantipur. And he knew that there was one thing that would evoke the Lord's punishment and chastisement, which cannot be offered to a superior. It can only be offered to a servant. So he went back to Shantipur with Haridas Thakur, because, you know, Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya are very intimately united and were actually, Lord Gauranga said that it was because of these two, Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur, their chanting and prayers that I appeared in this world. So they went back to Shantipur. And Advaita, in his academy, began teaching Yoga Vasishta, which is a Mayavada text of Shankaracharya. And he was not teaching it with some kind of Vaishnava conclusion. Advaita was very particular that whatever he taught, the conclusion was definitely, undeniably bhakti. But now he's teaching that the conclusion is liberation in the monistic sense of Shankaracharya. And the Mayavadis were totally enlivened because, you know, we hear that there's many instances of impersonalists becoming Vaishnavas, such as the Four Kumaras. Just, you know, in the scent of the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord, the tulsis on the lotus feet of the Lord enter their nostrils. They transcended that monistic conception of liberation. So the Mayavadis were so enlivened. The word started getting around. So Lord Gauranga told the Tananda, we should go see it later and see what he's up to. So halfway there, just on the eastern side of the Ganges, across from Ambika Kalana, when they entered the village of Lalitapur, they passed one house that seemed to be kind of like an ashram. And the Lord asked Nityananda, do you know whose ashram this is? And Nityananda said, yes, it is a sannyasi's ashram. So, oh, we would be blessed to have this darshan. So they went to the sannyasi's house and offered obeisances to the sannyasi. But his cloth was kind of like reddish. It wasn't really saffron, it was more like red. But as is the culture, they offered obeisances. And the sannyasi blessed him. May you achieve beautiful wives, wonderful children, great wealth, opulence, and learning. And Lord Gauranga said, these are not the kind of blessings we would expect from a sannyasi. We would have hoped that you would bless us to attain bhakti. And the sannyasi said, now I'm experiencing what I've previously heard about the nature of the Kali Yuga. You try to do some good for people, and they just criticize you. So I gave these boys a benediction, but they condemn me. And this must definitely be the secret work of karma. And then he said, I have traversed this whole land of Varsha and gone to all the holy places, and I've even, you know, gained some enlightenment from some sages. And now, this infant child, practically not even weaned from his mother, is daring to instruct me. But that's all right. He said, even if you have devotion to Krishna, how are you going to live if you don't have wealth? And what is the use of living without beautiful women and nice children and prestige and opulence? And then Lord Gaurangi is like, this is not the kind of blessings. These are actually curses. And then he explained how one's going to achieve whatever he needs according to his karma. So then, but the sannyasi was attracted to these boys. He said, well, these take prasadas. Well, we have some very urgent business, so we'll have to make it quick. What is? So he served them some fruit and some milk, and he kept asking if they're ready for the ananda. But then the sannyasi's wife, or Devi Dasi, which is allowed for tantric sannyasis, kept, no, don't interrupt their meal, let them finish and then let them have the ananda. And then finally, Lord Guru, and he kept looking at Nitya, he was just like relishing the whole situation, because he's very playful and childlike, but Lord Gaurangi was very pucker as far as, what is going on? What is this ananda? And then when he found out it was wine, they jumped in the Ganges chanting Vishnu, Vishnu, and Nitya just floated on the water, and Gaurangi got on top of him, and then they crossed over to Amida Kama and asked, what's his name? Who's the devotee in Amida Kama? Gauridas Pandit. Have you heard anything about what Advaita is up to? He said, yes, I heard, and I went and checked it out for myself. But just to make it really clear, I asked him three times, is it that you're teaching that mukti is higher than bhakti? And three times he emphatically said, yes, mukti is higher than bhakti. Mukti is the goal. Bhakti is just a means to achieve the goal. And then he said, and to make it really clear, after emphatically three times in a row stating that mukti is higher than bhakti, he revealed his forearm form and then his six-arm form. And Lord Gauranga appeared to be furious, but he was actually very amused. But anyway, then they went back into the river, floated on down the rest of the way to Shantipur. Oh, but before they left the tantric sannyasi, the sannyasi is thinking, this Brahman, Lord Gaurangi, he's become crazy. And it must be due to the influence of this Nitai, who seems to be somewhat of a madman, and seems to have misguided and bewildered him. So then Nitai said, don't worry, I know very well your glories, so please forgive the offenses of my friend for my sake. And then the sannyasi was pleased to hear his glories and took compassion upon Nitai. But the point Vrindavan Das Thakur makes in this very unusual story of the sannyasi wearing red and his Devi Dasi wife is that Lord Gauranga is very merciful on the most fallen due to the influence of Lord Nityananda primarily, even womanizers, drunkards. But he annihilates even Vedantists if they are averse to the devotees. So then they floated on down to Shantipur, and Advaita was very enthusiastically teaching his yoga vishishta when they entered his room, his school room. And then Lord Gaurangi, just as Gauridas Pandit had already tested, and, you know, am I understanding this properly? That you are saying that mukti is higher than bhakti? And Advaita said, yes, jnana is always superior. What is the use of devotional service for one who does not have jnana? And then he said, bhakti is like a mirror. The jnana are the eyes. There's no use to a mirror if you do not have eyes. And that was it. Lord Gauranga ran up to Advaita's high seat and kicked him right off his seat, and then dragged him into the middle of the room and started punching him. And his disciples were bewildered because, and then Haridas Thakur is frightened, Krishna, Krishna. And Lord Nityananda is smiling, and Sita Thakurani is frantic because Lord Gauranga was so angry, he is wailing, he is punching him. And every time he punched him, hurry evil! Dance and exit and seek the truck. Don't kill him. He's an old Brahmin. He'll be responsible for his death. Until finally, Advaitacharya became so ecstatic. He was dancing, and Lord Gauranga proclaimed it. I was sleeping in the middle of the ocean of milk, and your calls awoke me to come down and fulfill your mission. You have brought me down to this world to reveal the science of bhakti, but you are covering that bhakti with your explanation on jnana. And then the Lord sat down in the doorway and began to reveal his own glories. Oh Nara, don't you know? It was I who killed Kamsa. And it was I who killed that imitation Vasudeva, and it was I who held up Govardhan Hill with a little finger on my left hand for 7 days and nights. And it was I who burned Varanasi because of the hideous doctrine there that you are now teaching. And my chakra cut off the arms of Banasura and destroyed Narakasura. And the Lord just began revealing how he had not annihilated so many demons in the past. And then Advaita said, where is your pretense now that you're my master and I'm your servant? Because of the punishment awarded by me today, it has been made clear to all the world that you are my master, and I am your servant. And what you did today testifies that I am eternally your servant. And then Lord Gauranga again realized that he had been tricked by Advaita. And he felt very ashamed. But then, to evoke that bhav of parental affection, which he had toward Lord Gauranga, he said, well, you must be hungry. So take a bath in the Ganges and come back and take prasad. And then Sita Thakurani was very satisfied that she got to cook. So they went, and came back. And on the way back from the bank of the Ganges to Advaita's ashram, there is a temple. And Lord Gauranga offered his obeisances to the deity. And then Sri Advaita offered his obeisances to the placing his head on the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. And then Lord Nityananda placed his lotus feet, his head, on the lotus feet of Advaita. And then Haridas Thakura came and saw, said, this is like a bridge to Vrindavan. This bridge will enable all the living entities to cross over the whole ocean of material existence and enter in to our eternal homeland at the of Vrindavan. And then when Lord Gauranga turned around and he saw, did I say Lord? It was Gauranga, Advaita, and Haridas. And then it was Lord Nityananda said, look, a bridge. And then was, what? The bridge? And he turned around and he saw the Advaita's head was on his feet. The Advaita turned around and he saw Haridasa's head was on his feet. And what is going on? And then they all chanted Vishnu, Vishnu, and went back and took lunch at Advaitacharya's house. And the three restless lords ate what Sita Tatmani served. And then, this is one of many times that, you know, in the course of the meal, as we've heard so many other times, this time also, Lord Nityananda began throwing his rice all over the room. And Advaitacharya began to ask him, what are you doing? Who is this madman? Nobody even knows. We don't know where he's come from, what home, what family, who his father is, what his village is, who his guru is. And he's come to my house and is just throwing rice all over the house like a madman. And I'm a respectable aristocratic Brahmin. And I do not know what will become of my caste to be associating with this madman. And after that, in Shantipur, Haridas Thakur was actually very uneasy because Advaitacharya, such an aristocratic, elite, enlightened Brahmin, so universally revered and respected, had such an intimate friendship with Haridas Thakur, who was by caste an outcast. And Haridas Thakur actually told him one time that, I'm really uneasy about this. I'm afraid that your affection for me and the way you're just so spontaneously prone to feed me and express your love for me is going to cause some social scandal. I do not want to do that for you. And Advaitacharya, don't worry. I will not do anything that is against the conclusion of the scriptures. So just thereafter was the Shraddha Patra day, when the Shraddha plate was to be offered to the best of the Brahmins. And the Brahmins were very eager to receive the plate, which would testify that they were the best. And when they were eagerly awaiting to see who would be honored with the award of the Shraddha Patra, Advaitacharya gave it to Haridas Thakur, who was completely devastated. But Advaitacharya said, no, by feeding you is superior to feeding millions of Brahmins. So, after the fight over lunch, the house of Advaitacharya, Vrindavanadas Thakur makes a very interesting comment. He says, by the mercy of Balaram, goddess Saraswati also knows these pastimes. That goddess glorifies these pastimes through the tongues of those who are qualified. And Vrindavanadas Thakur gives a purport on that verse. He says, by the mercy of Sri Baladeva, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya are established on the tongues of those who engage in kirtan. Only those who have vowed to serve their spiritual master with awe and reverence are able to glorify the pastimes of Krishna. Shuddha Saraswati, the goddess of transcendental knowledge, dances on their tongues and releases waves and waves of Krishna's glories. So thereafter, when Mother Sachi saw that her son Vishwambhar was becoming very, very detached. He had lost interest in Vishnu Priya and was spending all this time with Advaitacharya. And her motherly sentiments became very disturbed. She was thinking, she didn't say anything, But she was thinking that this person who is called Advaita should be called Dvaita, because he is creating duality. My son Vishwarup, because of spending all his time with Advaita, lost interest in the world and became a sannyasi. And now I have no one left but Vishwamar, and he is following the same course. So in her mind, she is difficult, critical, and Advaitacharya is her own guru. So when Lord Gauranga was bestowing love upon everyone, but he was not calling for Mother Sachi. And the devotees were very amazed, and they asked, what about Mother Sachi? And he said, she cannot attain Mother God until she rectifies her offense to Advaita. When Advaita heard that, he just began singing the glories of Mother Sachi, and becoming more and more enraptured in singing her praise, until he could not contain himself anymore, and the glories of Mother Sachi overwhelmed him, and he just fainted on the floor. And then Lord Gauranga, because Mother Sachi could never take the dust from his lotus feet, he would never have his humility. But when he fainted on the ground before her, Lord Gauranga said, now, take the dust. And she took the dust from his lotus feet, placed it upon her head, and Lord Gauranga says, now she can attain love of Krishna. So, when Lord Chaitanya, on pretense of going to Vrindavan, actually went to Ramakali, and then was on his way back to Shantipur, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains how Advaita Charya had become completely enraptured in watching the movements of his son, Chitananda. And then he explains why. A sannyasi, a very good sannyasi, came to Advaita Charya's house. And Advaita Charya was very enlivened to serve the sannyasi. He said, I want to serve you and bestow alms upon you. What do you want? He said, I just want that you answer one question. He said, no. I can serve you first, take a shot, and then we can talk later. He said, no. I need to know the answer to my question. So Advaita was a little uneasy. So what's your question? He said, who is Keshava Bharati in relation to Lord Gauranga? So Advaita Charya was thinking that the situation and the question was a little awkward. He was thinking there's two ways to answer that question. There's social and there's a spiritual way to answer that question. So he was thinking that, actually, I'd rather answer it according to the social perspective. Because Krishna is glorified in relationships. And even his most endearing names, Nandanandana, Jashodanandana, the names, the holy names which depict Krishna as subordinate, subservient to the love of his servants, are most endearing to Krishna and the devotees. So first of all, I'll answer according to the social perspective, which is sweeter, and then we'll discuss the philosophical. So Advaita Charya said that Keshava Bharati is Lord Chaitanya's guru. And no sooner did he said that than from outside, the 5-year-old Chaitananda, covered only with dust from playing in the street, emerged on the scene and was laughing in terrible anger. He said, Father, what did you say? Would you ever say that again? What kind of words did I hear emanate from your mouth? How could such words emanate from your mouth? Is it because the age of Kali has affected even you, my dear father? Or is it because you, Advaita, have become bewildered by Maya to say such a thing? That Lord Chaitanya has a guru. Lord Chaitanya is that Supreme Personality who, lying in the causal ocean, all the infinite universes emanate from the pores of his body. And when he inhales, all those universes enter within his transcendental body. And then where is Brahma? And where is Shiva? And where is all the sages? And where is all the gurus then? They're all within Lord Gauranga, unaware of anything, until he exhales and the universe has come into existence. And from the navel of Lord Gauranga, a lotus sprouts and grows, upon which Brahma finds himself in the middle of nothingness, not aware who he is or what he is to do, or his connection with anything. And he traces out the lotus stem and finds that he can't find out by his own initiative, and he goes back and sits in meditation. He hears the word tapa spoken by Lord Gauranga, and he performs tapasya. And then Lord Gauranga reveals to him the Chaturshloki, and he reveals to him how to create. And then Brahma creates the material universes. And then the great sages come into being, and they're enlightened by the wisdom coming down from what Lord Gauranga imparted to Lord Brahma. And that line of truth in the Sampradaya is coming down today from the initial instructions given by Lord Gauranga. And you're saying that Lord Gauranga has a guru, Keshava Bharati? My father, you're supposed to be my Siksha guru. How could you speak such bewildering words? And then the Chaitananda fell silent. And Advaitacharya was just trembling in ecstasy. He said, son, no, you are my father, and I am your son. And he just began praising Chaitananda and praising Lord Gauranga to have sent his own associate to take birth as his son, to teach him transcendental knowledge. And the sannyasi was just watching this. And he just said, like father, like son. Now, my purpose in coming to this house to beg alms has been more than fulfilled. And he just left chanting Krishna, Krishna, the glories of Advaitacharya and Chaitananda. So, when Lord Chaitanya was at Puri, of course Advaitacharya would come and meet her and dance and run for after. One year, it was actually Jagannanda returning from Nadia, brought the sonnet, the cryptic sonnet to Lord Gauranga. Said, I have a message from Advaita. Tell Lord Gauranga, who is acting just like madmen do, that everyone in Nadia has turned into madmen too. And in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Tell Lord Gauranga that this message to the madman has come from a madman. So when Jagannanda recited the message, he laughed. He thought it was some kind of joke. And Swarup Damodar became very grave. And Lord Gauranga said, the great Acharya invites the deity to come. He serves the deity for some time. And then he tells the deity to go away. Which was actually a very common practice in Navadvipa at that time. That for the grandest festivities, which was marriage, people would make deities to bless their marriage. And then after the marriage, the deity would be placed in the Ganges.